Ladies and gentlemen and fellow Minnesotans, this is your Senator, Hubert Humphrey, reporting to you from my office in Washington, D.C. Today, I want to spend a few minutes with you discussing the federal budget, how it is prepared, and its shortcomings or failings as an effective economic guide. The budget message of our president, delivered right after the first of the new year, is the president's most important economic message. In many ways, it is the message that gives the blueprint of economic and social and political action for the year ahead. Therefore, a better understanding of the federal budget, not merely the size of it, but how it is compiled, what it reveals, is very important for an understanding of American government and American governmental economic policy. We hear frequent references to the budget each day. Citizens in all walks of life speak knowingly about the budget and the government programs it represents. One type of politician spends much of his time, in fact, pleading for a balanced budget. Others talk about the dangers of an unbalanced budget, the budget deficits. The word budget, relating to the federal government, is a commonplace word and one repeated again and again. Now, frequent discussion of the government's budget is admirable. But the basic problem is that the present federal budget does not tell the real story of how our government's programs and fails completely as a clear and understandable document. I just tell you something, this just doesn't click with me. Isn't this something? The budget each day. Ladies and gentlemen and fellow Minnesotans, this is your Senator, Hubert Humphrey, reporting to you from my office in Washington, D.C. Well, these past few days, the headlines have been telling us about the Soviet power or the Soviet buildup in Cuba. In other words, Castro's communist Cuba is today being made an island of Soviet military power and Soviet technical assistance. Let's just discuss this matter for a little while and see what is happening in Cuba. I visited this area last February, saw some of the equipment that the Soviets were bringing into Cuba, visited with our naval officials who knew of the Soviet ships that were coming into the Cuban waters and unloading their cargo in Cuban ports. I also witnessed at that time the new tough Cuban armed forces trained by communist or Soviet technicians and military advisors. Now, having said all of that, let's get up to date and see what has been happening in the most recent weeks. First of all, it is an established fact that a large amount of Soviet industrial equipment and military equipment is coming to Cuba. Now, this should not be any surprise to the American people, even though our newspapers make it appear as if it's the hottest news of the day. The agreements for Soviet military equipment to Cuba were signed better than a year ago when the Russians took over most of the Cuban sugar crop. This is a type of barter where the Cubans produce a much-needed commodity, cane sugar, which the Soviets take and then trade back to the Cubans, military equipment, medical supplies, industrial equipment, and other items, even foodstuffs. It's a crude arrangement of barter, which the Soviets have used in country after country. Basically, what the Cubans are getting is second-grade military equipment for first-grade cane sugar. The Cubans are not getting the sweet end of that deal. They're getting the bitter fruit of their arrangements with the communists in Soviet Russia. Now, there have been many claims as to the number of Soviet or Russian technicians in Cuba. It is a fact that there are not only Russian technicians in Cuba, but there have been technicians and scientists from Czechoslovakia, and indeed some from communist China. The numbers are uncertain, but I would estimate that anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 would be a conservative figure and a responsible figure. There isn't any doubt but what there are military advisors to the Cuban military forces, and these Soviet military advisors have lent or have given new strength and power to the Cuban military forces. It is also well established that there are missiles and rockets of Soviet design and manufacture now in Cuba. And radar equipment is being established in Cuba so as to provide what they call some defense against attack. Now, what does this all add up to? Does this make Cuba a military threat to the United States? Does it make Cuba a military threat to Latin America? If we examine what the situation really is, I think we'll get a better perspective. First of all, no matter what amount or how much military equipment the Russians may place in Cuba, they will never be able to equal or even come close to equaling the military power that is available within a few minutes' notice of Cuba from the United States. I visited with certain elements of the American naval forces off the coast of Cuba this last February. And let me just put it on the record. There is more firepower, more military power at sea, ready to strike within seconds, within 10 to 15 miles of the Cuban mainland. There is more American military and naval power in that area than all of the power of Cuba and all the other nations in the Western Hemisphere, exclusive of our own. Now, what I'm saying is that our nuclear task forces, our aircraft carriers, our cruisers, our destroyers, our submarines, our Marines based at Guantanamo Base in Cuba represent such unbelievable military power that whatever military buildup takes place in Cuba fades away into insignificance. Even a madman, even one as irrational as Mr. Castro, would never dare attempt a strike at the United States with his military power unless he wanted to be wiped off the face of the earth. Now, what about the possibility of Cuban military aggression on Latin American neighbors? Well, here we come to another matter. Potentially, if there was no interference or no one to stand guard, it is possible that the Cuban military forces could launch a successful military attack upon their neighbors in Latin America. But this is in the realm of theory. This will never happen. And I urge upon our president to make it public, or to make a public declaration that any military attack or adventure by Cuba or Cuban forces will be met with the full force and power of the United States. In other words, we must put up a protective shield for our Latin American friends. And we must make it known to every country in Latin America that we are not going to permit any Cuban aggression, any Cuban military adventure. And the minute that Cuban military forces move off their island to attack any of their neighbors, or even the indication of an attack, it will be met by American resistance. I believe that this will calm down Mr. Castro. Then he can play with his guns and play soldier in Cuba. Now, the real truth of the Cuban Castro threat is not military. It is the fact that if the Cuban economy and if the communist system in Cuba is a workable system, and if the Russians can prop it up to make it appear that it gives a higher standard of living to the Cuban workers and the Cuban people, that this could result in effective propaganda and political penetration into other areas of Latin America. What is our response to this? Our response is that through the Alliance for Progress, in cooperation with Latin American neighbors, through the Organization of American States, we must move literally heaven and earth to see to it that the Latin American neighbors have a higher standard of living. Help them with management, help them with technical assistance, help them with their agriculture, primarily again through technical assistance. Help them with their schools, through education, through health, and help these nations create their own better standard of living. Let us select some countries in Latin America as our showcase. For example, the Dominican Republic that has just rid itself of a dictatorship of the Trujillo family. Let's make sure that the Dominican Republic, which is the very next door neighbor to Cuba, is a living symbol of the effectiveness of democracy. Democracy with social justice, democracy with opportunity for the young, and democracy with prosperity for those who live on in that particular republic. I think this is the best answer that we can give to the threat of Castro's Marxism and communism. Castro will march against no one. We will make sure that that never happens. but Castro's ideas and the ideology of communism cannot be stopped by armies. It can only be stopped by better ideas, by more effective political organization, by economic growth and progress and prosperity. This should be our response to Cuba. Let's declare war on the conditions that made possible a Castro. Let us launch a great attack upon the poverty, upon the frustration, upon the unemployment, upon the disease and the illiteracy which grips so much of Latin America. This is the war we need to wage, not a military attack upon Cuba. If Cuba should attack anyone else, then Castro's regime will suffer a defeat that will blot it off the face of the earth. In the meantime, we must resist its forces through our effective democracy and our programs of economic and social action. Thank you.